Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is January 28th, and wow, I can't even believe that January 28th already. We are through January 2021 already. I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which if you're listening to a recording, you know how you can do it, but there may be other ways. You can go to motorvitality.com where you can listen to tons and tons and tons of archives. You may have noticed that because of some absolutely brilliant and reliable assistance, those have been uploaded on a much more timely basis as opposed to a couple of years ago. It was taking sometimes a couple of weeks to get them up there, but now we're getting them up there usually within a day. So you can listen to them at motorvitality.com, or you can subscribe to Motor Vitality on Google Podcasts or iHeartRadio or Stitcher or whatever podcast application you happen to use. Just subscribe to Motor Vitality and you get them downloaded right to your phone. But we definitely appreciate having you on live. This is where the discussions happen, and as happened a couple of weeks ago, we, you know, sometimes have a topic, but somebody will ask a question or make a comment, or and we'll actually end up making that the topic. So I definitely appreciate having you on live. These calls have always been meant to be a discussion, you know, something that we can learn from each other on. With that in mind, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can answer for you, any questions that you have?
Well, yeah, I have a few things.
Please go.
I actually have a few. Okay. The first one is I call to action. WQA is calling for volunteers for the different committees for Water Quality Association. So if you want to make even more of an impact and a difference in the water treatment industry, then please log on to WQA and go to the committees. And I believe that they're accepting applications until February 5th, which in the past it was like, I think January 29th was the cutoff date. So I know I appreciate that extra week to be able to get applications in. My applications are in. You're only allowed to serve on two committees, though, so keep that in mind. But definitely a great way to meet other people within the industry, and we'd love to have fresh faces on these committees because I love everybody that's in there in these committees, but it seems like it's the same people all the time. So please join us. We usually only meet one or two times, throughout the year. Well, at least two times throughout the year, but maybe once a month. And if you wanted links, you can go on to the Motor Vitality Facebook page. We have links on there. Second one is that I spoke with Breon, and I'll speak for you, Breon. I know you're on the call. And as a follow-up to last week when we talked about the water heater company was saying that the warranty was voided because we put a water softener in front of that hot water tank. Come to find out, it was just somebody that was new. The young man that was inspecting and on the phone at the same time, saying, well, it looks like they did this, they did that, they did this. He just wasn't experienced enough yet. And so because he noted that there were changes, they were trying to say that the warranty was voided. The builder came back in and looked at everything and talked to the company, and everything was fine. It was just inexperience, and you know, we've all been there, so we can't put too much fault into it, but I'm glad that was taken care of and the company wasn't responsible for a hot water tank because we put a softener in front of it. So follow up on that. And the last thing I have is today is National Rubber Ducky Day. So I am going to, I know, I did, like, this is the important part. I saved the best for last. Pick up a copy of Flowing to Success because it has a rubber duck in front of it. I noticed that our Instagram page, it has not been updated in a very long time. So I am going to commit to posting. We might have a lot of throwback Thursdays because I have a lot of pictures of ducks, but I just didn't post them up on the Instagram. So we're going to start posting a little bit more regularly. And if anybody would like to borrow a duck to take pictures, at your facility, contact me, and we'll ship duck out to you and start getting some more miles on duck since we're not able to travel a whole lot. That's all I got.
Yeah, well-traveled duck. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate
duck.
It. those are excellent. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts before we get into our topic today? Okay, then. So this is something that we have mentioned many, many times, the topics. We're going to talk about follow-ups today, and I'm glad we have a little bit of time through here to do this. But, we mentioned this periodically, the importance of doing follow-ups. But today I wanted to not only talk about the importance of doing an in-person follow-up after the sale, but also give a strategy and a technique on the way we do it and maybe get some feedback on how you guys do it. This is something that I started doing way back when I was in sales. Now, you know, I mentioned this before, but when I was in sales, I was in a territory where there just didn't make fiscal sense to do a lot of advertising there. There wasn't a lot of metropolitan areas. It was very rural. You know, houses were lots of miles apart from each other sometimes, and just not a ton of new construction going on. And so for me to make a living, I made this determination that I not only had to close, you know, pretty much everybody that I talked to, which obviously didn't happen. I didn't make it, you know, I didn't have 100% closing ratio, but I, you know, 80 to 90%, I was close. But I figured I needed to sell not only a water softener, a single unit, but also a softener, an iron filter, a reverse osmosis, or, you know, multiple units. So in order to make a living, I had to have a significant dollar amount on my agreements and my contracts and the sales agreements, and I had to get a referral or several referrals from every single customer that I had, and I couldn't have problems. You know, the thing is, we've talked about referrals before. I am not one that believes that you just automatically earn a referral because you sold somebody something. I believe that referrals have to be earned. And I also, you know, back then I was in my 20s and almost 30 when I started, but it was a lot of money. You know, somebody, they buy this house and they're popping down, even back then, $4,500 for a water treatment system. That was absurd. That was the kind of money that I, at that point, couldn't even imagine putting down on this. And so part of the follow-ups came from the fact that somebody's putting that much money in to their house. It has to be perfect. They can't look at this thing and say, it's okay. They've got to be jumping up and down with joy over it, which means that all the stuff that I told them about saving soap and all the benefits that they were going to get, I wanted to make sure that they were reminded of those things after they had it in. You know, I wanted to make sure that they knew what they had, what they had just spent the money on, not just. So there, for so many reasons, I started going out and doing in-person follow-ups. And basically this was, at the time, was not required from the company that I worked for. we went out and, it was pretty common for a salesperson to call, after the install, hey, how'd everything go? I just wanted to check on you, make sure everything went. But for me, I felt like it was so important that I wanted to do in-person follow-ups. And to be fair, I think it's something that may have been suggested when I had gone to the manufacturer, had this week-long boot camp type thing, sales thing. And I think it was suggested in that. I think Tom Hopkins, when I had one of the first books that I really studied and read when I came in the industry, How to Master the Art of Selling Anything, I think Tom Hopkins mentioned it. This isn't a concept that I made up, but it's one that made total sense to me. Things happen. Even the best installers have a bad day. Equipment is made by people. So I would schedule the times to go out, there after the install within a couple weeks. And I made it a priority. For me, it was just an absolute priority to get back in that house. And I can tell you, I became even more convinced that it needed to be a priority after going out a couple times and seeing, a pipe run in front of something or crooked or solder had dripped. And so what I would do very first thing is I'd start in the basement or where the equipment was installed. So I would check on that, and I'd start and go into the basement and take a look at the equipment. Well, let's start and take a look at the equipment, see where it's installed. Now, sometimes the order of doing this, I often would wonder if I needed to switch it around, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I usually start where the equipment was. I take a look at it because I want to look at – this is what everybody sees. Now, I would go down and take a look. Usually it was a basement where I was. Not everybody has basement installed. Sometimes they're closets or in a garage or whatever. But I would look at where the equipment was installed, and I would ask the customer, so are you happy with the installation? And they would go either, yeah, it looks good. Or they would say, yeah, I guess it's okay. And if they say, yeah, I guess it's okay, that's not an answer that I want for somebody that's just spent thousands of dollars on a water. That's not a glowing endorsement. I want them feeling really happy about it. So that's when I'd ask, is there anything you would change about it? And, what would make you, it sounds like you're hesitant. And they, well, I really wish that, that the pipe would be over here or something like that. And there's some things that you just can't change, right? Well, I get that. That's kind of a pain. They did that because of this, I think, and you could explain it. But if it was something that you go down and you look at it and the pipes are crooked or there's a lot of solder or it looks like crap, now, most customers would be fine with that. It's working. But, man, I was thinking about the referrals. I was thinking, what if their brother-in-law is a plumber or a builder or somebody like that? And maybe the customer's not aware that it isn't looking great, but somebody else who knows what the stuff is supposed to look like comes down and says, oh, so you just got that new water system. Can I take a look? And they go down in the basement and they see crooked pipes or a sloppy install job or something that's not, that's not good. There goes my opportunity for a referral from them, from that builder, from that plumber, from that person who knew what it was supposed to look like, or from the brother-in-law that knew what it was supposed to look like, So that was one of the things that I wanted to do, was go down and say, is this thing referral worthy? Is somebody going to look at this? Somebody who knows what it's supposed to look like, are they going to look at this install and be impressed, or are they going to look at this install and go, wow, that's shoddy workmanship. I'm not about to recommend that company for my referrals. So that part was, and look, that happened a lot. And I can tell you, I did have this conversation with our service department initially. And in theory, it was fine because the service department all thought that they did great work. But they didn't always. Sometimes people had a bad day or they didn't pay attention to the paperwork, where it was supposed to go. Or maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining where it should go or what the customer wanted. There's lots of reasons there, but I needed to have a good enough relationship and a solid enough service department so that if I went down there and the customer's telling me, hey, I wish it had been this way, then we needed to be willing to come back out there and make it the way the customer wanted it, the service department did. Fortunately for me, I had a service department that was willing to do that stuff, that was willing to come back out and switch things and do it because they understood the value of referrals and sometimes it wasn't that they did something bad or wrong or not, not clean or neat. Sometimes it was just simply that they, that the customer wasn't aware, but it's okay because that's where the referrals come from. I mean, imagine that if it was done nicely, it was done neat, it was done well, but the customer wishes that they had done it slightly different. And then we come back out there and we change it. There's a referral. There is something worthy of having earned a referral that is beyond just the fact that the customer bought something from us and we installed it. You know, that's referral worthy. So anyway, I would start there. I would make sure that it looked neat and clean. And we talked about pictures last week, taking pictures. This is a great time to take pictures of that. And then I would go upstairs and I'd test the water. It was interesting because when Jen and I have worked at dealers across the country, this is where, sometimes it would kind of throw us off a little bit. And this happened a few times when I was in sales. You go up to the kitchen and you test the water and the water's hard. When I was new, that would freak me out a little bit because the water, I'd go, how's the water? Cause I'm asking them these questions, how's the water? Have you noticed the difference? And they're like, oh yeah, it's great. And then I test the water and the water's hard. And I'm going, oh, you think it's good now? Wait till it's working. wait till the system's working. That happened. Sometimes it happens where the installer forgot to turn on a bypass. Sometimes equipment fails. So they're made by people. They're made by humans. Sometimes equipment's installed backwards accidentally. You get a new installer that's putting something in or a veteran installer that just got tired and they had a bad day. But often at the, if you test the water, you've got the system in, you think it's installed good, it looks good, you test the water at the kitchen and the water is hard. Next thing I'd recommend doing is going over to the bathroom and testing the bathroom water, finding a bathroom. And that's because there are still houses out there, a lot in the Midwest. And we run into this in Minnesota a lot, Iowa, seen this a lot, Florida, we saw this a lot, where
Indiana,
plumbers plumb. In do you get that in Indiana, Stacy, where they plumb the
time.
Yeah. They plumb the kitchen water, they plumb hard. And the rest of the house is soft, So
right.
But you need to test the water. Now that's something we have talked about this before. Hopefully when you're doing a plumbing assessment, if that's something you're aware of in the area, hopefully you're able to identify that before the installation, as part of your plumbing assessment. But because that's something you catch at the follow-up sometimes. And, that's a big deal. I think customers need to know that. They want to know that. This is the time, by the way, when I'm testing the water, though. Let's assume that it's all soft and I'm testing the water. And I'm going through and everything's working well. This is the time that I have a form, and this form, by the way, is on our website. You can change it. You can modify it. You can put whatever questions you want on there, but it has their water analysis before the equipment, their water analysis on the follow-up, and then it has a series of questions. Was the warranty explained to you? The warranty probably wasn't explained, but they forgot. This is a great time to go back and re-explain the warranty and the service policy. Was the equipment explained to you properly? Yes, hopefully it was. Okay, was the... are you using one of the questions on there? Are you using less soap and detergent? This is the time they just spent this money to soften, to treat their water mechanically. They don't need to treat it chemically like they have been doing. If they continue to treat their water chemically, they're going to ruin their glassware and they're not going to save the money that you promised them they were going to save when you sold them the system. So you got to remind them of that. Remind them to use less soap and detergent. Remind them of the benefits that they have there, okay? You test the water, test the reverse osmosis. You do a before and after. You test the tap water, see what their TDS is, test the RO water, and make sure you're getting at least a 90%, hopefully better, rejection rate out of that. And show that to them. Show them that the equipment that they just put in is giving them those results. Make them rebuild their excitement back up. And then go in and ask them, you know, is there anybody that you know that might have questions on water, you know? This is a time to ask for those referrals. Now, I will also tell you, this is, you'll notice on our form, there's a place for comments on the bottom of it. I had a book, it was the most powerful tool that I had in my test kit. On the front, it was a binder, one of those white binders, you know, three-ring binder. And I had pages in it that were in screen protector sheets of letters that I had collected over the years that I was in sales from customers that had written me letters, because I asked for letters. This was before Google reviews. Now you can ask for Google reviews, but this, you know, or online reviews, but this follow-up sheet was really powerful, because what I would do on the sheet is I would, there was a place for comments. And so I, as a new sales professional, I needed these referrals. I needed people to see that other people had purchased stuff. So I would ask them, if you have any comments, either good or bad, please write them down. And usually what customers would do is they just write, excellent, excellent job. Kelly was great. Service was great. Install was perfect. You know, they just write that kind of stuff. And I collected those and made copies of them and put them in this book, so that when I had my next sales call, I would use these follow-up forms with these comments on the bottom to do a couple things. Number one, when I was in the sales presentation, the next sales call, and I'm telling people that, hey, I come out and do this. This is not something your competitors are doing, by the way. Your competitors are not going out there and doing that in-person follow-up. There, very few of them are. But this is so this is something that I did that set me apart from my competitors. And I could show them, you know, these are some of the comments people made when I go back out within 2 weeks of the install, check everything, test it, make sure it's doing what it's supposed to do, explain it to you. These are some of the things that people said. And I could show them these comments, these little short comments, and those are what I used for the longest time as I was building my letters, you know, the letters that people had written. So, and if you get a Google review, print off, or an online review, print those off, put them in a book so that people can see what those reviews say. Put them in a book and carry that in your test kit and carry it, all those things. Okay. So, and then I would, have them on, you know, autograph that I had been there, sign that I had been there, and that went in the file so that I know. So now when that customer, some customers, 6 months later, when they're angry about something, and this is what happens, right? Because I would catch it. There were times that I would catch a system that wasn't working, that wasn't functioning right. And now, you know, now this customer's really happy. 6 months later, if I hadn't gone out there and caught that system wasn't working, or that now they're calling the office angry. This system has never worked. Well, if I had gone out to do the follow-up, I wouldn't be getting that phone call. And talk about impressive, right? You go out, you find out that it's not working, and then you get service out there to correct it before they have to call, before they notice it. There, that's referral worthy. That's referral worthy. So I can tell you, this is something Jen and I have, when we have been fortunate enough to help companies build sales departments all over the country, is something that we have made as a critical component of it. And in fact, when I was sales manager, one of the things that I started doing was holding back some commission, a little bit of commission to do a little follow-up, you know, so you earn a certain amount of commission. And because it's amazing to me that a lot of salespeople don't go out there and do these follow-ups. So, you know, sometimes you got to have a little bit of incentive to do that. There's one company that we had that wouldn't pay a dime of the commission until the follow-up was done. The sale was not completed until the follow-up was done. I don't agree with that, because there are times that things, you know, that get challenged or whatever, but But I do think that it's critical enough that if you want your team to do a follow-up, first off, I think if you're a salesperson who works on commission, you should be doing this anyway to get these you earn referrals, and referrals are the easiest ones to sell. They're the easiest ones. You don't have to, you eliminate so much competition. But then I hear the same thing all the time from salespeople. Well, I can't get them to return my call. I try to get back out to the house, but I can't get them to return my call. Well, this is where when you're scheduling the follow-up or when you're scheduling the installation, that customer calls and says, yeah, let's do it. I'm ready to put the system in. This is where you say to the customer, okay, great. There are two dates that we need to look at. Okay, the first, Mr. Customer, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I appreciate that. The first is, when do you want to have that installed? When would your, do you have a preference on when we put that in? We can try and get that in, on the schedule for you. And the second date is, I want to put something on the calendar for when I can swing back out here in a couple weeks and just check it and test it, make sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do. So you put that on your calendar at the time of the installation, at the time that you close the sale. That's when you put it on your calendar to be out there, to go back out. And by the way, if you have organized your territory, you know where you're going to be. And if you've, Jen mentioned my book, so I'll mention it as well. You know, in my book, I talk about it. We've talked about it in webinars on how to organize your week in your territory so that you have an idea of where you're going to be every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday. It doesn't work if you're relying on house leads, by the way. If not as well, it doesn't work as well if you're relying on house leads, you know, for the company to tell you when to go where and when. But if you can determine your own schedule, you're out there creating business, you know where you're going to be, you know, what area of your territory you're going to be in on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays, then you can, it's easier to schedule those follow-ups. You can say, you know, I'm in Handy Township on Tuesdays. So if that works for you, then we can go. I mean, you're putting this in on, you know, next Saturday or next Thursday. Maybe we go the second Tuesday after that, you know, and you put it on the calendar. And then it's on the calendar. You're going to be in the area anyway. It's on the calendar. Now, do you call and confirm with the customer? Hey, just want to let you know I'm really excited to come out there and see that installation and check the water for you. Okay, but you have it on the calendar then. You're not trying to get in touch with them all over the place and you know, to schedule that follow-up. It's there. Okay, last couple minutes. Thoughts, comments, questions on any of this? Is everybody doing follow-ups? Not doing them? What challenges are you running into?
Hi, Kelly. It's Maria.
Maria.
Do follow-ups. Example, and it's also an opportunity. So like yesterday I was at a customer and I was doing a follow-up, just checking everything, and she was enjoying her reverse osmosis system. She says it's great. She goes, I just wish it was colder. I'm like, we had discussed it. She goes, yeah, but I don't know. I'm like, well, if you want, I can have, you know, you purchase the cooler if you'd like. And I walked out of there with a deposit for the cooler.
For sure. Absolutely. That is, Maria, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened where, you know, they opted just for the water softener or just the water that goes on you. And you go out and you do the follow-up and they're still kicking themselves for not getting that reverse osmosis, for not putting in the rest of the system. And I'm so glad you said that, because there are so many times that you walk out of there with the rest of the sale, you know, with the other stuff. So, awesome. That's awesome. And by this time they feel more comfortable with the company because you've done the installation and the follow-up. They're blown away. So they're more willing to trust you to do more of that. Excellent. Excellent point. Who else? Last minute here. Who else has something?
It's a good time for getting the certificate of completion signed for financing, because you're out there, you're doing it in person, and you're showing them that it's working and they're satisfied. And that way you're controlling when the company gets paid and when you get paid.
Yeah, Yeah. If you haven't already gotten that signed, then absolutely. That's even more critical. Definitely. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Guys, I so appreciate everybody coming on. We had a lot of people. I don't know how many, but I heard a lot of dings, a lot of people coming on today. So thank you so much for coming on and participating. Again, we have a call for topics. If you guys have a topic you want to discuss, please reach out to us and let us know. I truly am honored to have the opportunity to serve you guys this way and that you take your time to join us. So thank you, everybody. Please be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay? So thanks, everybody.